Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life one tale at a time. On today's podcast, we're going to go grassroots as we look at the color of our lawns. Not the ones in front of wherever we live, but the ones in our heads. And that's why I've titled this episode, "The Grass is Not Always Greener." We've all likely heard the phrase, "the grass is always greener," meaning that when we look at someone else's life or some other thing, we think it's better than our own. You just got a new job, but someone else you know got a new job that pays more. Or you just bought a new car, but did you see that new car down the block? Sometimes it seems like even if everything in life were perfect, we'd still find a reason to think something was wrong or it could be better. That sort of thinking always lands us in trouble. We determine that we can't be happy yet because there is something missing. Or worse, we believe that we'll never be happy because there will always be something missing. In short, we refuse to be happy because we're certain there's something better. There are those that might say what we need is a swift kick in the seat of our pants, but most would agree that what we really need is just a simple reality check. Now, you might not think that a folktale from over 130 years ago was the place to go for a reality check, but this story is something special. It's short, it's funny, and it's a great way to remind ourselves that looking elsewhere for that greener grass often comes up short of where we were to start off with. This story is titled, "The Six Sillies." Once upon a time, there was a young girl who reached the age of 37 without ever having had a lover, for she was so foolish that no one wanted to marry her. One day, however, a young man arrived to pay his addresses to her, and her mother, beaming with joy, sent her daughter down to the cellar to draw a jug of beer. As the girl never came back, the mother went down to see what had become of her, and found her sitting on the stairs, her head in her hands, while by her side the beer was running all over the floor, as she had forgotten to close the tap. "What are you doing there?" asked the mother. "I was thinking what I shall call my first child after I am married to that young man. All the names in the calendar are taken already." The mother sat down on the staircase beside her daughter and said, "I will think about it with you, my dear." The father, who had stayed upstairs with the young man, was surprised that neither his wife nor his daughter came back, and in his turn went down to look for them. He found them both sitting on the stairs, while beside them the beer was running all over the ground from the tap, which was wide open. "What are you doing there? The beer is running all over the cellar." "We were thinking what we should call the children that our daughter will have when she marries that young man. All the names in the calendar are taken already." "Well," said the father, "I will think about it with you." As neither mother, nor daughter, nor father came upstairs again, the lover grew impatient and went down into the cellar to see what they could all be doing. He found them all three sitting on the stairs, while beside them the beer was running all over the ground from the tap, which was wide open. "What in the world are you all doing that you don't come upstairs, and that you let the beer run all over the cellar?" "Yes, I know, my boy," said the father. "But if you marry our daughter, what shall you call your children? All the names in the calendar are taken." When the young man heard this answer, he replied, "Well, goodbye. I am going away. When I shall have found three people sillier than you, I will come back and marry your daughter." So he continued his journey, and after walking a long way, he reached an orchard. Then he saw some people knocking down walnuts and trying to throw them into a cart with a fork. "What are you doing there?" he asked. "We want to load the cart with our walnuts, but we can't manage to do it." The lover advised them to get a basket and to put the walnuts in it so as to turn them into the cart. "Well," he said to himself, "I have already found someone more foolish than those three." So he went on his way, and by and by he came to a wood. There he saw a man who wanted to give his pig some acorns to eat, and was trying with all his might to make him climb up the oak tree. "What are you doing, my good man?" asked he. "I want to make my pig eat some acorns, and I can't get him to go up the tree." "If you were to climb up and shake down the acorns, the pig would pick them up." "Oh, I never thought of that." "Here is the second idiot," said the lover to himself. Some way farther along the road, he came upon a man who had never worn any trousers, and who was trying to put on a pair. So he had fastened them to a tree, and was jumping with all his might up in the air, so that he should hit the two legs of the trousers as he came down. "It would be much better if you held them in your hands," said the young man, "and then put your legs one after the other in each hole." "Dear me, to be sure! You are sharper than I am, for that never occurred to me." And having found three people more foolish than his bride, or her father, or her mother, the lover went back to marry the young lady. And in course of time, they had a great many children. There's nothing better than a little humor mixed with love. Except maybe a little humor, love, and some wisdom to live by. And we just happen to get all three here. But let's take a moment here and focus on the wisdom bit. Let's get it out there. Perfection is a myth. There is no perfect day, perfect job, or perfect person. And you know what? It doesn't mean we can't be happy. In the story, we actually get this from two perspectives. There is the silly family who gets distressed about not finding the right name for a child that doesn't even exist. But we also get the sensible man in the story who then says he can't deal with them because they aren't perfect. In the end, both sides realize that these little flaws aren't actually that important and, boom, end up happy in the end. It's amazing how that happens when you toss aside the notion that things have to be perfect for you to be happy. This doesn't mean that we should just settle, that is, sell ourselves short and take whatever comes our way. What it means is that if you're setting standards that no one can meet, you're bound to be unhappy and disappointed. Disappointed in others, disappointed in yourself, and unhappy. And that's just not the way to be. Like just about every fairy tale out there, we're all meant to live happily ever after. It's crucial that we get out of our own way to do that. We've all been silly at some point in our lives, but let's not stay that way. Let's put aside the thoughts that we can't be happy until or unless, and get on with being happy now with the wonderful, but not perfect, things that we have. The grass under your feet is already green.